What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Hello, everybody. How's it going? You'll have to forgive me for this episode. I do have a little bit of the hiccups going on right now, so.
But I wanted to make this show. I don't expect all these shows to be perfect or
the most high production, but I do intend to put my best foot forward and make mistakes and make success as well. So let's roll. All right. So this I want to talk about U.S. Bank, UPS, and Dollar General. So these are companies I think about and always like to try to get into my portfolio when I can. So the reason I love these companies and have them in my portfolio most of the time, one, they pay a dividend. It's the one thing I tell a lot of people, man. Dividends are important. I don't care who you are, what you do. But, yeah, it's... dividends are extremely important. So, take a look at the Dollar General stock. I think it's actually higher than it should be. Like I said, please forgive me for the hiccups.
Right now.
But I'm actually checking out their, it is definitely overvalued, though. Yahoo Finance certainly says it's overvalued, which I completely agree. I can see people being very, very bearish towards it. Price over earnings ratio is 20.7, so I wouldn't say it's extremely overvalued, though. I think they're doing really well during the pandemic. When the pandemic stops, though, the question we should really be asking ourselves is, will the Dollar General have the same pull? You know, will it still have the same swagger, I guess you could say. But as I look at it a little bit further, you know, I look at the 52-week range. It's been $173.50 as the 52-week low and $227.56. So, I mean, I look at this and I see a great company. I see a company you should always... I've always been a big fan of Dollar General. Not Dollar Tree, though, because Dollar Tree, I don't think, can hedge inflation. Because you can't make everything a dollar forever. They're not going to, you know... this hyperinflation thing is going to kill the Dollar Tree, in my opinion, or they're going to have to force themselves to be called the $1.50 tree or the $2 tree, which they could do. I mean, they could call themselves the Dollar Tree and still sell things for $1 to $2. You know what I mean? Everything is at most $2. I think they could get away with it. Just with inflation, I just don't see them being able to keep this up. Inflation affects the consumer negatively. That's just all there is to it. And seeing where this all goes, well, it's going to be interesting, I'll tell you. I don't think this is the end of the global economy, though. I think it's just the beginning. There's always going to be growing pains with things. We haven't had the global economy hasn't been around all that long. But let's see here. Yeah, dividend yield is 1.6. Well, they pay $1.68 per year, which is 0.75% yearly, based on the stock price. So it's basically almost, it's like 0.75% for the dividend yield yearly.
Which is all right.
But based on the price of the Dollar General. You know what I mean? It's good. But yeah, definitely a big fan of the Dollar General as a company. I think most people should be, though. I think it's one of those companies you got to get in touch with, you got to be a part of, and yeah, I'm a big Dollar General fan. So anyway, I've talked way too much about my favorite company ever, but I do want to talk more about, let's see here. Sorry, these hiccups are not exactly going away.
I still
want to talk about what I want to talk about with you guys. And let's see here. Pulling out my handy dandy notebook. A couple of things. You definitely add Dollar General to your watch list, because when the stock market crashes, which it will, you're gonna want to rack up on the Dollar General. I don't know when the stock market's gonna crash. If the Fed keeps printing more money and pumping up the stock prices too high, then we basically have an asset bubble right there. The bigger this bubble gets, the harder the burst is gonna be. That's what people don't get. So I'm totally ready to capitalize on a market crash, though. Thank goodness. I definitely own volatility indexes. I'm all about volatility indexes. It's the best way to protect yourself against the volatility of the S&P 500. They just don't have the earnings, man. So the collective earnings power of the S&P 500 is a lot weaker than people realize. Another one to add to your watch list, though, definitely U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank is one you should always have in your watch list. Always own, too. Look, they pay a great dividend. I don't know what their dividend is exactly, but let me take a look real quick. Yeah. Trying to find U.S. Bank on here. Struggling. USB, yeah, USB, there we go. Honestly, their PE ratio, their price over earnings ratio is only 14.7. They're an incredible bank, and I think if you're smart about this, I love US Bank. They're a great bank. Yeah, definitely buying them right now is it's close to the fair value. Got a high trading volume, 52-week range isn't too shabby. It's not the most volatile thing I've ever seen. I do like, this is another one you got to buy during a market crash, man. Buy banks during a market crash, because I don't think big banks are necessarily going away. The Fed will always find a way to protect them. But look, like I said, the Fed's been printing too much money for too long, and they've created one of the biggest asset bubbles in the history known to history of man. And if history's told me anything, it's getting insane. But I'm excited to see where else this goes. Let's see what else we got. You know, their market cap is 82.7 billion. It's incredible. So $83 billion market cap. But they're a pretty big company, decent company. Their volatility rate's pretty low for the most part. Usually they tell you how low the volatility is, which is really nice. Because they do have volatility measurement tools. And like, the thing is, you don't want anything too volatile, but you want it kind of volatile. You know, this is one of the reasons why I play volatility indexes, because if you play both sides, it's going to frequently go up and down. If you just know what to do during the down times and you know what to do during the up times, you always have the advantage. And like I said, playing both sides of a volatility index, I've shown videos a couple times. I'll have to show them to you guys again, but playing both sides, volatility indexes are just another way to win. I'm huge on volatility trading. I don't short them, though. I buy put options, long-term put options. Ones that last about 8 months to a year to maybe even a year and a half, depending on how I feel about it, you know. But yeah, I always continue to rack up on, what do you call it? I just rack up on the stock, because I do believe eventually the bubble's going to pop. No 11-year bull run can last this long. And look, maybe it can, and maybe I'm wrong, but everything I've studied about economics proves that this bull market is insane. You can't just keep printing money, you know, keep printing it, and then all of a sudden, what else are you going to do here, you know? It's just not a pretty situation, and it saddens me that, I don't know. I personally think, I don't know what to think right now. I've been at a loss for words for a while with the economy and how everything's been going and how strange it's all been. And, you know, I guess sometimes I don't know what to think, but I still think there's going to be a lot of time. There's going to be an eventual correction, which will lower the value of the market, which is fine. Just remember, it's a good buying opportunity, and the market will eventually go back. And, you know, earnings will be better. I think earnings are decent already, but, you know, like I said, the Fed is propping up these companies by giving them free money, and they're keeping themselves alive by being intelligent, you know, investing wisely with the money they get. I still think there's an S&P 500 index fund bubble, though. I'd agree with Michael Burry on this one completely. Let's talk about UPS, though. I talked about the banks. It's good to own the banks because, first off, they're getting a ton of free money from the Fed right now, so it's easy for them to borrow money. However, once the Fed raises the interest rates, U.S. Bank is going to be a little fucked. So expect if 1% to 2% interest rate increase happens, then you'll want to buy U.S. Bank, because what's going to happen is they're going to pull back. The value of the stock's going to go down because everybody's going to panic. And you want to start racking up on great banks while everybody's panicking and selling off because the value is going to go down. So, you know, corrections in the housing markets are happening. Stock market, most of these markets, I don't know. I know housing market and stock market are the ones I know the most. Commercial real estate I know pretty decently, but yeah, I'm just excited. You know, the crashes are, you know, I love how the people on YouTube, and this is what pisses me off so much about the guys like Meet Kevin and Graham Stephens or the Jeremy from Financial Education. They freak out when the market collapses, and that's annoying because stock market is the only market where people freak out when it collapses, right? In the housing market, the housing market could collapse anytime, and then a whole bunch of houses are on sale, right? Well, what happens when they're on sale? That means it's a good deal. They lowered in prices. So the same with stocks. If stocks all go lower in prices to a low, and that also lowers the PE ratio, the price over earnings ratio, because it's getting closer to the actual valuation of the company. So what do then? You buy. That's all you can do, is just buy stocks during a market crash. And people think it's insane to do so, but people who think it's insane don't know enough about the market and don't know that it's a good thing. If you buy the best of the best companies, like a U.S. Bank, like a UPS, which I want to talk about here in a second, and you buy like a Dollar General, which is a pretty decent company in itself, you're pretty much good. So, but okay, so last one on the list is UPS. I don't really want to go over UPS too much, except for they are the biggest carrier in the freaking world. I think they're even bigger than FedEx, and obviously bigger than USPS. UPS is the best company. And I think it's United Parcel Service, yes. Oh, I always forget what the actual acronym means. So the PE ratio is 36, right? And that's the price over earnings. That's good. They got decent earnings. Look at their earnings here. Let's take a look. Estimate. They always beat their estimates, though. This is incredible. Like, they heavily beat the estimates. I think their estimate's a little high this time around, though. It's like $2.81 per share. Oof. I mean, their last one was about $2.77, so... I don't know, man. That's a rough one. It's a rough one. So my thought, my basic thought here, definitely UPS, though, is overvalued. UPS is overvalued without a doubt. Earnings per share, 5.2, that's pretty good. Volume's pretty decent. The reason they're priced so high is because they don't have a whole bunch of volume. They're not like the most traded company in the world. They don't have a whole bunch of outstanding shares either. But they're a solid company. Let's see. Earnings come out July 27th. Let's see. I mean, their P.E. ratio is 36, which isn't actually that bad of a P.E. ratio, 36 times earnings. You definitely got a ways to go, though. It's still overvalued by all technicality. I think UPS is just one you should always buy on the dip. You don't want to buy during the roller coaster because you'll be the bag holder anytime, any day. So you want to avoid being the bag holder. Just don't. I hate it when people buy this upswing because it's really stupid to buy the upswing for a good company. You want to buy the downswing of a great company because eventually it goes back up, right? It eventually corrects itself back up because it's a great company. It has great earnings. Maybe a little overvalued right now, but it will climb back up because it's a popular brand. Everybody uses UPS. UPS is used as the primary carrier, if I'm right, for Amazon and most major retailers. So UPS is a huge, huge company too. Their market cap is like, I don't even want to tell, $185 billion market cap. They're a big company. So do not underestimate UPS. They're the best carrier out there. And always have them in your portfolio, even if they're pretty overvalued. Because 36 PE ratio is pretty overvalued, but it makes sense to have UPS at such a high value because their earnings potential's there every time. You know, like I said, the major carrier, the one that everybody uses, earnings growth potential's real. I think they're a good safe hedge against inflation. Just a really good company. So yeah, just remember to keep this in mind and everything will be fine. But let's see here. But yeah, that's it. Those are the top three. At least those are the top three that I always would add, that I always add into my portfolio no matter what. Just because, like I said, one, they're great companies. Two, yeah, you can't avoid it. I mean, it's like I said, it's like good. It's like great real estate, right? You always want to try to get the best real estate you can because the value increases more over time. You know, you get a really great quality house and stuff like that. So like with same with buying a company, you know, if you buy any company out there, even if you're buying small amounts, one, you want to make sure it's never overvalued. That's the most important aspect. And then second, and whenever I'm looking to add to a portfolio, anything I got, I'm always looking for the value. What's its value right now? Is it are the earnings on a 45? Well, they don't have to be at a 45 degree angle, but is there earnings growth? Is there proof of earnings growth in the last year, year and a half? Sometimes I like to go 2 years. If they seem like they're in a decline, if they don't really market well, I do avoid those type of companies. But you wanna go for companies that are managed very, very well. Big companies that have a proven track record and that pay a dividend. If you get a dividend payment, it's like I said, it's almost like collecting rent in a weird way. So yeah, that's the way I look at it. But I want to thank you guys for taking the time to view this show. Obviously, I went a little longer than my usual. I usually like to go 15 minutes, but yeah, luckily there's no time constraints with this show. Tune into the podcast on Anchor FM as well. I usually just basically strip the audio from all of these videos and just keep rolling. But yeah, I like to do the live videos first on the YouTubes and then bam. So make sure you guys tune in. Like I said, if you like the videos, hit the like button. If you hate them, hit the dislike button. I don't give a shit. I just want to get as much educational material out, kind of give you guys a good watch list that you can cling to when a market crash does happen. Because look, the entire market's overvalued. 11-year bull run's a little too long for it to go. And that's all there is to it. Just keep it really simple and really easy. But I want to thank you guys for taking the time to view. And I'm out. I'll do the next video as soon as I can when I figure out which topic I want to talk about. Anyway.